Well, good morning and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that time we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com, and let us know how we can pray for you. Maybe something big, maybe something small, it doesn't matter. We're to bring everything before the Lord. We just want to lift it up and pray. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. So don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Dear Lord, we thank you this day for the opportunity to come before you, knowing that we can bring all our lives to you, that you are a good and gracious God who loves us, who cares for us, who meets our every need. And so, Lord, that we have this privilege and this honor to come and not only lift ourselves up, but lift each other up to bear one another's burdens and to encourage each other with prayer, to help them and strengthen them with prayer. So we thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory this day. We pray that you would move with power and might in the work of in the lives of your people, that they would see your hand at work, or that your glory would be revealed in them. And Lord, that they would see that you are indeed faithful in all things, and we can put our absolute trust and faith in you. So we thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory this day, and pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com, and let us know what you're needed today for the prayer closet. Today, before we get into our prayers, as always, we like to get into the Word of God to get our hearts settled and ready for prayer. And today, we're going to look in John chapter 4. And John chapter 4 contains a very familiar story, the woman at the well. But I'm going to focus on what happens after Jesus' encounter with the woman in the well. So just to recap, in case you're not familiar with the story, Jesus and the disciples are traveling. They stop at this well. They're going through the region of Samaria, where the Samaritans were. The Samaritans were... The Jews did not get along. Samaritans were kind of considered half-breeds, half-Jewish. They had what the Jews would consider a corrupted form of religion. They were considered unclean. So Samaritans and Jews did not associate with each other. They didn't like each other. They didn't associate with each other. But Jesus, in fact, most Jews would travel out of their way so as not to have to pass through the region of Samaria. They would go out of their way to travel around. So they're traveling along, and they come to a well. Jesus says, Jesus is tired, he's thirsty. He sits by the well, sends the disciples into town to get some food, and he's just resting by the well. A Samaritan woman comes along. Jesus strikes up a conversation with her. She's a woman who's had many husbands. She's there in the middle of the day because she's probably ostracized in her town. She's a woman who's had many husbands. Now living with a man. You know, so kind of a sketchy past. But Jesus begins to talk with her and share with her. And she's just amazed. And they have a powerful encounter. He shares gospel with her. And she goes back into town and tells everybody about it. And that's where we're going to pick up the story. So the woman comes, and after her encounter with Jesus, her remarkable encounter, in verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. And once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. And the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, the servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. I share this because I want to show the difference. Here Jesus is in Samaria, with the Samaritans. People considered unclean, to have a heretical religion. They've warped Judaism, twisted it, at least according to the Jews. And it wasn't, you know, they weren't orthodox in their faith. Hated. There's a lot of animosity between Samaritans and Jews. That Jesus stays there with them for 2 days. And I want to focus in on what he says and what John says in verse 40. It says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Jesus stays with the Samaritans, and later on they even say, we no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves and know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So these people ask Jesus to stay. For 2 days he stays and he teaches them. And they believe his teachings. And many, many get saved because they hear the word of God. Now notice what it doesn't tell us. It doesn't say that Jesus did any miracles while he was there. Doesn't tell us that he did any healings, cast out any demons, fed 5,000, nothing. It just says that he stayed with them 2 days and that they believed because of his words. Now, maybe he did do some miracles. Maybe he did do something. Maybe there were some healings he did. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But that's not, no, the emphasis is they believe because of his words. And even the Samaritans say, we believe because we have heard him. They believed, they heard the word and they believed it. They didn't need a lot of miracles. They didn't need a lot of showy stuff. They were listening to his teaching. They were listening to his word. And it was the word and the teaching of Jesus that they trusted and believed in. Contrast that with Galilee, his hometown, his home area, his home region. He goes back to Cana, not by accident, the place where he did his first miracle. And coming back to this region. And he's met by a royal official who says, please come and heal my son. And Jesus, we've seen Jesus respond to these kinds of requests many times. But here he's almost kind of brusque with the guy. I mean, the guy's son's dying. He's desperate. But Jesus says, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. It's like, whoa, come on, Jesus. He's just asking you to heal his son. But notice why it says they welcomed him. It says he came to Galilee and they welcomed him. Now, previously it says that a prophet has no honor in his own country. He'd been to Galilee before and it had not gone well. Because people were like, isn't this Mary's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? Who does he think he is? And they hadn't received him. This time it says they welcome him. Right? So maybe you're like, oh, well, maybe they learned their lesson. But notice it says they welcome him because they had seen all the things he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast. They welcome him because they had seen his miracles. So they welcome him and say, hey, maybe he'll perform some miracles for us too. They don't welcome him because, like, hey, this guy is, you know, maybe the son of God. We need to listen to what he says. He's got some great teaching. He can tell us about God. They invite him and say, hey, maybe he'll do some miracles for us. So their whole welcome is based on him doing miracles for them. Not on, we want to hear what you have to tell us and speak to us about God. And so Jesus says, well, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. Now the official says, you know, please come down before my child dies. Jesus says, don't worry, you may go, your son will live. Now notice what it says. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. The man believes the word of Jesus. He has not seen the miracle, but he trusts that Jesus, what Jesus says is true. He takes him at his word. And he heads home. The next day he's met on the road as he's heading home, because it's probably a couple day journey. And he's told his son as well, and he's told he was healed at the very hour that Jesus said he would be well. And so they believe. Now notice, he believes Jesus' word about the healing, but he doesn't believe in Jesus until after the miracle. Now he does come to faith, right? Give him credit. And there is some faith before, because he believes the word of Jesus that he'll do the miracle. But only after the miracle is done does he come to faith. Jesus' word is true. You only believe when you see miracles. Now Jesus gives him a miracle, and he does indeed believe, he and his whole household, to become followers of Christ. But there's a contrast being set up here between the Jews and the Samaritans, specifically the Jews in the Galilean region, in his own hometown, those who knew Jesus best, needed miracles to be convinced. They only welcomed because he was doing showy things. They wanted the miracles. They wanted the flash. They wanted the style over the substance. And only when they saw the miracles, and only when they saw all these great things, did they put their faith in Jesus. But the Samaritans, who were outsiders, who were not even really believers, who had totally screwed up the religion. They didn't know what they were believing. Worshiping in the wrong place, with the wrong rites, doing wrong things, offending God with their behavior, unclean. But when they heard the word of God, they believed. They didn't need any miracles. They weren't asking Jesus to do a bunch of healings. They weren't asking him to cast out demons. They listened to his word and responded to his word. They heard the word of God and they believed. Whose faith was greater? John's shown us that there was the faith of the Samaritans. The faith of the Samaritans who simply believed God's word. They didn't demand a bunch of miracles. They didn't demand a bunch of signs. They didn't say, do this for us and then we'll believe. Do that for us and we'll believe. They just heard the word of God and they believed. And they trusted in him and said, yes, this man really is the Savior of the world. Because we've heard him. The whole emphasis of the Samaritans is that they heard the word of God and they responded to the word of God. As opposed to the Jews in Galilee who needed to see the miracles before they would believe. Jesus is lamenting their lack of faith. What is God telling us? God is telling us that we should respond to the truth. Jesus later on says, all people who are of the truth, hear my voice. The Samaritans heard the word. They heard the truth and they responded to it to show that they belonged to Jesus. They didn't need flash. They didn't need miracles. They just wanted the truth. They heard it and they believed it. Because they valued the truth more than anything else. What did the Jews value? Was it the truth? Or was it what they could hear and get from Jesus? He's saying that their faith was not equal to the faith of the Samaritans. They needed all this other stuff to help them come to faith. Jesus says a true faith, a real faith, is a faith that simply hears the word and believes it. That's what God's calling us to do. We shouldn't have to earn our belief. We owe him our belief. The Galilean Jews wanted Jesus to earn their belief. Show it can do this, then we'll believe. You need to earn it. The Samaritan Jews didn't ask for Jesus to earn their belief. They just believed. They believed because his word was true. And they owed their belief to the truth. We need to believe God and trust in God because we owe him our belief and we owe him our trust because he is true. And not because of anything he's doing or not doing. He doesn't have to earn our belief. He doesn't have to prove himself to us. We owe our belief to him because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through him. And have a couple of prayer requests in. So let's jump into those. First of all, a listener writes in asking for prayer. I have a tough week ahead, so pray for strength and peace. Lord, we lift this prayer, listener up to you and pray for them as they just have a tough week ahead. Lord, you know the challenges that are facing them this week. But Lord, we also know that you are greater than each of those challenges. So Lord, we pray that they would just put their faith and trust in you, that you would help them to overcome all of these, that you would strengthen and sustain them throughout this week. Grant them peace in their hearts that they would not give in to anxiety and worry, but would trust in you and know that you will give them victory over everything that they face this week when they put their faith in you, that they would walk in that peace and that faith. We pray this in your name. Amen. And also I have a prayer request from another listener asking for prayer for a to Ohio this morning for safe travels, but also prayer for their company as there are a lot of changes going on, a lot of conflict with employees due to these changes, asking for peace and resolution during this time. Lord, we do pray for this listener, first of all, for their friend traveling to Ohio this morning. Just pray for your safe travels, that you would grant them traveling mercies, deliver them safely to Ohio, watch over them, and keep them safe on the roads. Lord, we pray for their company right now as they're going through some transition that's causing conflict. Lord, we pray that you would help them to navigate this. We pray that you would bring peace and resolution to these issues. Lord, that you would help them to navigate through them and bring them to a good resolution, help resolve this conflict in a good and positive way. Lord, we pray that your spirit would move through and that people would know that it was by your spirit that these things were resolved and peace was restored. And grant them wisdom as they, you know, have a role to play in this, that they could be that peacemaker, Lord. That they could be that peacemaker and that light of calm and peace in the midst of this. As a witness to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, anytime you have a prayer request, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can always call here at the radio station. We folks here are happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. You can email or text your prayer request to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. Folks, and we'll pray for you on the next Prayer Closet. Or go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button to get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Thanks so much for tuning in. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.